Hello and welcome to the show brought to you by the YAFC. And we are really, really excited to bring this episode to you this evening. And I have two great guests with me. But before we get started, I want to give you an idea of what we're going to be discussing in episode two of this series, which is focused on awkward conversations. And I think when we started the series, we wanted the stories to be funny and impactful. And we're trying to be humorous, but we also realized that some of the things that we're sharing are very serious, and so we'll kind of see how this flows tonight, because tonight's episode is about dealing with coworkers and their, like, low expectations of people with disabilities sometimes, and trying to interact with them to help them learn that people with disabilities can achieve great things on the job. And the reason we are focused on that for this episode is because October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. So we thought we'd do some episodes in this series focused around employment and kind of have these conversations to shed some light on what people have experienced and how they've kind of handled these things. And the YFC is a really awesome project that we all get to work on together, which is funded by the RAISE Center, which focuses on providing technical assistance to parent centers across the United States in the area of transition from high school to adulthood for young adults with disabilities. And so with me tonight, my name's Everett, and I'm just happy to be here kind of driving this boat a little bit, I guess, as the host. And with me tonight is, first, we'll go to Julia. If you want to introduce yourself and then tell us where you're from, and why you like being a part of the YAFC so much, if you do.
Hello, I am Julia Bruner, and I am from Vermont, from a town called Johnson. And I love being a part of the YAC, the RAISE group, because it is amazing, a place to get to speak your mind and get to bring awareness to topics that need to be discussed and to bring awareness to issues and go beyond the boundaries of what some people might not be willing to put themselves out there.
Yeah, and I think we all love doing this podcast so much. And I know, Aaron, you love doing these episodes too, so you want to say hello to the people again. I know this is Julia's second time, but I feel like Aaron has been everywhere in our thumbnails and in this podcast feed. So, Aaron, you want to say hello? Is it cold in Minnesota yet?
Yeah, of course it's cold. As you can see, I have like a little turtleneck on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm Aaron, and I am certainly from Minnesota. And what I've definitely enjoyed as being part of this group is, I think, just having kind of like a open forum with everyone and kind of seeing the similarities, but also the some of the differences between all of our experiences, not only just with disability, but throughout the country, and how like different areas of the country kind of impact our life. And so that's been kind of a cool part of it.
Yeah, no. So thank you both for being here. And as I said, tonight we're going to focus on interacting with coworkers who might not see you as a person with disability as equal to them. I know for me, throughout my career now as an old, whatever you want to call it, right, as a now middle-aged professional, like, this has happened to me a lot, where people have made assumptions about my ability and the things that I can do. And part of me thinks that we can have all the laws in the world, the IDEA, the ADA, and they're all wonderful laws that allow us equal opportunity to education and public life and the civil rights of people with disabilities. But one thing that legislation can't really do is get people's attitudes and like the stigma around disability taken away, right? So Aaron, have you ever faced that, where like, how have you handled like people having stigma around disability or society's attitudes about what disability is? Or do you think what I'm saying is complete nonsense? and disagree completely.
You know, I totally wish I could disagree, but I can't. I've definitely experienced a wide variety of attitudes and stigma associated with disability, especially because my disability is very apparent. You know, I use a 400-pound power chair for mobility, so it's pretty obvious to everyone around me. I would say, you know, whenever you're in a place where you're almost being compared to everyone, whether that's education, sports, the workplace, unfortunately, you're always going to be compared to that bigger group, which unfortunately is, you know, non-disabled people. And so I think the way that I've encountered it a lot of times is having an open mindset that not everyone has, you know, the experience to understand people with disabilities and to actually meet someone. And so with that type of mindset, you're able to kind of be that person to educate, of course, within your own means. Like, you can't always be educating people, but just to kind of take the opportunity to slow things down and kind of explain why things are the way that they are and how you may do things a little bit differently, but, you know, you're there and you want to participate. And that's, you know, the great thing about it. And I think the last thing too is, you know, having a good mindset whenever you can and bringing in humor as much as possible, because I think that really breaks down, you know, some of the barriers that people could have up as far as, like, you know, having that open mindset. So those are some of the things that I've kind of encountered.
Yeah, sure. And Julia, I know that both you and Aaron are either working, right, or have had jobs in the past. Julia, have you ever had coworkers you've worked with or been around, whether it be for a paid work experience or volunteering, have people place low expectations on you because you are a person with a disability?
Most definitely. I have had numerous situations where people would have assumed that I wouldn't be able to do a specific task or a specific job because I have a learning disability, or I might have a hard time doing something.
So, and your disability is invisible, right? So people really wouldn't be able to tell. Unlike Aaron,
invisible,
who drives and a 400-pound wheelchair.
Yeah, it's invisible, but then it can be visible at times because I have a other thing, a low muscle tone, which is not necessarily diagnosed, but sometimes if I have a bad fall, I will get really shaky and I can't get up for like 10 seconds.
Sure.
And I've been called a cripple. Maybe I shouldn't be using that word, but
no, but that's reality, right? You've been called negative words before. So how have you dealt with that when things happen like that with you, Julia? Like when people either are bullying you or are saying they make assumptions that you can't do something. What have you done to change their mind or show people that you are capable?
Sometimes first thing, I won't say anything in particular about the subject. I will just say, give me a chance, let me do the job, and I will show you that I am more than capable. And after I do that, and after I show them that I can do more than they think I can do, then they kind of quiet down and realize, oh, maybe she has more to offer. And I would say another thing for employers and people out there, please, if you have a situation or a conflict with your employer and you don't like something, don't have a side conversation with somebody else and make it seem like you're not talking about that person who has a disability, because that can really hurt them because they aren't being viewed as a equal.
Yeah, well, and that's it's almost like you knew exactly what I was going to say. I think that I have seen that happen often in my career, where gossip happens around someone's abilities or what people perceive, and not having a conversation directly with that person. And it can be really, really hurtful. And that's is a form of bullying. So I really appreciate that you shared that. Julia, I think what I heard you say in your answer about how you handle things is you don't really say a lot. Just let your work speak for itself, right? You show people what you're capable of. But I love that piece of advice you just gave about for people to avoid having those side conversations, to just talk to someone directly, because you may not understand why someone may be struggling with something or may need support somewhere. So, Aaron, I mean, you talked about having to leverage humor and to be friendly. But I know that we have shared about, like, between you and I, about experiences in maybe in the interview setting or other things like that. But how have you dealt with people placing those low expectations on you as a chair user that someone can see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, kind of like Julia, I think one of those things that it's like your work, I think, speaks volumes, you know, when you actually show them that you can do this thing. And I think, you know, if I kind of go back to like those interviews that you mentioned, sometimes you don't always have those opportunities. And I think that's really tough. You know, so for example, there's two interviews that I think of right off the bat that, like, before I got my full-time position that I'm currently in, I had two interviews that were so blatantly discriminatory that it was like, you know, in hindsight, they were big learning opportunities where in hindsight, I would have, you know, finished it and said, you know, that this is discriminatory and I'm going to end it, you know, and kind of take that power back in a way. But with that being said, you know, this idea that they saw my wheelchair and immediately thought that I was incapable, it's like I never had that opportunity to even show them what I was able to do. But then I think that also speaks to, you know, these organizations and the people that they're hiring and what they believe in as well, is that it's like, am I really going to flourish at this company or organization if they aren't willing to give me that chance? You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like that,
yeah,
back and forth of like, do I even want to put the time and commitment to try to convince them, or should I go somewhere where they, you know, are willing to even just give me the chance, and then I can show them how good of a worker I am.
Yeah. To hear you out and to actually see you for who you are. So mm-hmm. I'm going to, in another life, I actually teach career focused classes to community college students. Some of these students I know have documented disabilities, and they share that very openly, and others do not. But one of the things that I advise young people on, or my students and all the time, is that when you go on an interview, you are interviewing that employer as much as they are interviewing you, right? And so the perspective you just gave is really, really big. If you're in an interview and it gets weird because you're a chair user, or because your learning disability becomes apparent, or they notice something and it gets awkward, and they get rude and all of that, that might not be a great spot for you, right? That might not be the greatest spot for you. I do want to share a unique story about my career. I usually wouldn't do this, but I thought when we had this topic, and Julia, I'll ask you a question here in a minute, but I wanted to share this in the sense that early on in my career, I got a job at a disability-focused organization. Right. And I was tasked with being a supervisor, or at least I shouldn't say that, like leading projects at the agency to try to help them change attitudes around people's ability to work in the community and not be working for like pennies on the dollar, like doing sub minimum wage work. Right. We're talking like a workshop type setting that almost, like, is being eradicated, I feel like, across the country right now in some spots, right? And I went to an outing that was an employee outing, and one of my coworkers made the comment, "Well, you're not like the rest of them. You're not like the rest of them." And we were in a parking lot, and I'll never forget looking at her, and I love that person. Like, up until that interaction, I would have been like, we're cool. Like, we're homies, you know, like we're work buddies. And I just said, I am them, right? There is no them. They are me. I am them, right? And so I think that some people, I mean, Julia mentioned this, like some people might have good intentions, or Aaron said this too, right? People might be well-intentioned, but they can say and do some really awkward things. And needless to say, I didn't stay at that employer much longer. Not because I didn't enjoy the work. It was because I just didn't feel like I could grow there anymore. I had done all that I could do. So I feel that. And I thought about telling this story before the episode started, and I thought, no, I'll wait. But I do think it kind of fits. Like, you have to find the right place for you. Because that's almost like a form of bullying in itself, like inadvertently, like people making assumptions about you. And Julia, I wanted to ask you too, what advice would you have for youth who are maybe dealing with bullying, like at their workplace? Like if a youth is trying a job or volunteering somewhere, and they're hearing those side conversations that you talked about that people shouldn't do, what kind of advice would you give to youth that might be dealing with that personally? Like, how should they maybe handle that?
Well, it's tough to say because, well, I will say, if I know in the past for me also that I might have gotten an assumption of, well, should you really be here if you need all of this help? Try to speak up for yourself. Tell them that, yeah, I might need some more help in some areas, but it doesn't mean that I can't perform the same duties that you may be able to do. Mm-hmm. You can stand up for yourself in that way. You don't really want to come back and say negative things towards them. As much as it sucks, you don't want to say negative things towards them. You kind of want to be a bigger person so you don't start to make yourself seem like the bully as well. I would say, I know personally for me, I like to step out of the work environment or step out and just dance, which is helpful. But if it gets to a point where things are just not working out, show them that you are capable. Talk to your boss and try to have your boss help you with a situation.
Sure. And that's really great advice. You never want to stoop to their level, right? Is what you kind of said. You never want to stoop to their level. And I think too, like making sure that people understand the accommodations that you might have in place to help do your job better. But that does work best. I think Julie made that point too, like talking to your boss to help you through that. That's what they're there for.
You know, if you have a lot of anger and you feel like you're wanting to curse your boss or your coworker out, get a sheet of paper, go in private, and just write down all these mean words that come to your mind and just put them on a piece of paper and then tear the piece of paper up. Yeah. I found this helpful in a counseling session I did, and it helped me a lot in high school, and it can help you in the work environment.
Because one of the hardest things I think is when you're a young adult or an adult in a working environment, you can't just call on your parents to help you. You have to kind of deal with it on your own. And so that's great advice, to go write out your feelings somewhere and then rip that up, you know, or delete it, whatever you have to do. And so, Aaron, I guess I know that you've had really supportive parents who you have talked a little bit about, like, how amazing they are, right, in this whole environment of, like, your job and your independence and all that. What advice would you have for families that might be supporting someone that, like Julie was talking about, that might be having a tough time with some of this, and then going to them and the parent feels like, I want to go to HR for my kid, but I can't do that, or I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's a really hard question that I know wasn't on the rundown here, but I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about helping parents to step away, but still be supportive of that kind of experience.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. Obviously, I think this will be different for everyone, and just, you know, if they have guardians or parents or whatever the situation is. But I think for me, like, I'm the type of person who really benefits a lot from, like, ranting about a situation. So I think, like, having that open conversation with someone who's super close to you, whether it's a parent or a friend or whatever, and just kind of getting it out. And this kind of builds off of what Julia said. Sometimes it's just, there may be something that happens at work related to disability or not, that you just kind of need to get out. And then you can be like, okay, I've got my, you know, wild energy out of me, and now I can approach the situation with more of a level head. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think having that space mm-hmm. and that interaction can be super important to, like, find a way to approach it in a productive way. And I also think, like, no matter what, you know, when I think about my parents, naturally they're older than me. And so they also have experience dealing with, you know, not necessarily things related to disability, but they have worked with HR, and they do realize some of those work relationships that develop no matter what in any type of work environment. So I think just kind of, you know, talking about some of those, you know, those issues or the relationships that you build with certain people, and seeing, like, what interactions you can hold can be really important. So I think conversation and just having an open back and forth relationship with someone you care about is probably one of the most important things.
Well, and I don't want to speak for my mom in this case, but I know that my mom was so, you have to figure this out on your own, that it, like, she didn't really want to be there for those conversations. And I think now, in hindsight, we've talked about some of that, about how all I really needed her for was to be there to hear me say what was happening. And mm-hmm. then I can handle it from there. But getting it out in a healthy way, whether that's through writing it down and tearing it up, or saying it to a friend, or talking to a guardian or a family member, like, that's super important. But I do think it is hard for some parents to kind of, quote unquote, back off. But I think that it is healthy for that to be done. Really, though, I mean, I feel like I've learned a lot from this conversation tonight. And I really appreciate your time and your energy. If you all are loving these episodes and want to see more, this is actually episode 7 of our whole podcast already. And if you want to listen to the other ones, you can go to raisecenter.org to see them. But thank you, Aaron and Julia, for your time and energy. I hope that parents and youth that are listening to this will hear this and understand they're not alone with some of this stuff when it comes to, like, jobs and navigating other people's perceptions and society's perceptions, and maybe get some practical tips about what to do. Because I think sometimes it just gets to be overwhelming. And so hearing your voice of reason and good advice was really, really great. So thank you both. I hope everybody has a good evening, and we'll see you on our next episode.